Welcome back to another Toolbox Tuesday. I'm gonna get it rocking and rolling here. If anyone has not been with us for Toolbox Tuesday before, every Tuesday in our practices, we pick a tool out of our toolkit and we go over it with our team to remind them of all the resources that we have available and at their disposal, keeping everybody on the same page.
Yeah, so we generally talk about the topics that no one wants to talk about. And that's, it's something that we have made kind of a culture in our practice about what we talk about, and we're not hiding from these things, and because it's a way for us to improve constantly and consistently, and they're not fun to talk about. We don't like it, but we know the benefit of it. And it's so valuable to kind of make people comfortable with the uncomfortable, that it's something we do every week and almost every day pretty much. And I think it's just that it's that thing that really, the more times we kind of, get that feedback and get that painful feedback, sometimes the faster we can progress, the faster we can get better. So this is what we're doing, and this is what we're talking about now.
So yeah, we last week, if you were with us, we talked about review management and hearing some negative feedback from people. This week, we're going to talk about just patient complaints in general
Yeah.
and getting some suggestions from your patients. And if doctors, I don't want to group you all together, but if patients aren't complaining to you, they're complaining to somebody. So I would challenge you, if you think all of your patients are happy with you all the time, ask your front office if they've had any patient complaints today. So I guarantee you that they've had something that's come up from the Karen of the world. So.
Most of them are very outspoken about the patient complaints, at least in our
When you
offices.
ask them, they
We
sure are.
don't have to ask them too many times. They're generally posting a message or talking about it amongst themselves that we can overhear or something like that, because it can get kind of ugly sometimes.
Well,
And
and we also, oh, sorry, go ahead. No.
no, I was saying, unfortunately for us as doctors, is we get, Jennifer, you call it the rainbows and butterflies, but we get the best of people sometimes, not all the time, but we generally get the best of them in the office, and unfortunately the team members do not.
You will have the advantage of having sharp instruments. Some patients are not stupid. They know that. So, but no, it's yes, doctor, and a lot of times treat the rest of our team members like trash. It's just the things that come out of people's mouths sometimes are I'm gonna write a book. I keep saying it never fails to amaze me the things that people come up with. But this is also customer service. And I try to put this in perspective for our team because we have had, in full disclosure, if you've been with us for some of our first 400 onboarding program, we've talked a lot about having to be able to nimbly be able to onboard your team members. And we've
Yeah.
had many greener team members who have not had any experience in customer service that don't make it for that very reason, right? Because they're so surprised that somebody is upset about XYZ. And this is not just in the dental office, right? This is in Trader Joe's. This is when you're at the movie theater. Like the things that people come up with, we had someone who worked in the hotel industry before she came to work with us, and she was in our front office. And she said she literally had a customer come at the front desk and throw their pillow at her because they were unhappy with the pillow that was in their room. Like, are you an adult person, have a pillow fight in the middle of a hotel lobby? What's wrong with you? But this is dealing with people. So, you just have to recognize that. We had a patient, this was years ago, and I heard him in the front office. He was making a ruckus up at the front. So I went up front to see if I could assist my front office team with resolving whatever his issue was. And he was complaining about our At the time, this was before COVID, about our coffee machine, and that we did not have all of the options of decaf or organic free trade coffee, tea, sugar-free situation that he was looking for. And I said to him, we're going to be bringing you back for your appointment shortly, and we don't need to worry about the coffee right now. And his response was, what does it say that you can't even compete with Starbucks? And I said, it says that I'm not a coffee shop, but I'm not trying to compete with Starbucks. But some of the things, when you say it back to someone, is this really what your complaint is right now at the dentist's office? I think we're doing okay. But we use that as a case example because when you say it back, it sounds ridiculous and everybody's joking about it. But you have to be prepared to respond to those things when they come up because your front office can be very stressed about it in the moment when you have someone who's trying to have an argument with you over your Keurig machine,
Right. And I think that's a tool or a trick that we've used so many times, whether working with team members or patients or whoever it is. But when we repeat back and clarify what comment or what complaint that they wanted to have. And when they hear it in someone else's words, it all of a sudden sounds crazy to them, you know, and it's such a powerful tool. But when you repeat that back to someone, they have a tendency to kind of back off a little bit. Yeah. And it's so common, because I think, you know, emotions get the best of everyone. And this is not a slight on all our patients. And when this is very, very few and far between, but there's such a damaging situation when they do happen, because people, we're working in people's mouths. And then a lot of times there's pain involved. There's definitely a lot of money involved, things like that. There's a lot of emotions that come with that. And if we can't find ways to kind of diffuse those situations and put things in perspective for people, we're not really doing our job and having them focus on the treatment they need or whatever it is that we're talking about. So I think that's a really important part, and something that we talk a lot about in our practice, about focusing, you know, our job as dental providers or team members is to really manage the patient just as much as it is to prep the crown and make it temporary, right? And managing the people is by far the harder part of our job. It's what we need our brain for. So if you can't prep that crown without a brain, meaning just kind of, you've done it a million times, I can close my eyes practically, you're not going to have the bandwidth to deal with those people when they do have those complaints, or kind of how to respond, or have the tools and the mindset or the you know, the poise to respond to some of those situations.
Yeah, and this gets back to having boundaries and setting expectations with your patients. We talk about this with our doctors all the time, which again is something no one wants to talk about, and it's not a comfortable thing, but patients are not your friends, right? Yes, we are friendly with our patients, but this is a business relationship. If your friends come to you, great, but you're not hopefully engaging with them the same way that you are when you're having a beer in the backyard on a Saturday afternoon. It's not the same. You know, a lot of times our doctors, I don't want to speak for STEM, but you would rather not treat your friends, right? Because you don't want to hear about all of their feedback afterwards. Please go see someone else so I don't have to hear about this at the barbecue on Saturday afternoon. You know? But having those boundary lines and realizing, yes, people are nervous. I use my dad as an example of this all the time. He comes in scared to death. He's been a patient for a long time. Nothing against our practices. He's just had some very bad childhood dental experiences that have stuck with him. He brings a new shirt with him every single time because he has sweat through the one he's wearing by the time he's done, even just for a cleaning, right? He comes in and he is not overly warm and fuzzy and wants to visit with the front office. He wants to get in, he wants to get out, and he wants to be done. He's not trying to be a jerk, but just because he's not asking you how your weekend was doesn't mean that he's a jerk. It means that he's there for a reason and a purpose, which is the case for a lot of people.
Right. And that's the professionalism too. And I think, you know, there's bedside manners, and then there's trying to be someone's friend so that they'll do more dental work. And I think that's unfortunately where, not on purpose, but I think unfortunately that's where a lot of us kind of land, is like, if I'm friendly with this person, if I make a really good friend connection with this person, they're going to do more dental work. They're going to build my practice. They're going to reform our patients. And where that might be true in certain situations, that's not a professional way to build a practice, right? And you build your practice by being friendly to someone, having good bedside manner, by all means. We're not saying don't do that. We're not saying we're not friendly with people. We absolutely are. But we want people to be impressed with our dentistry, our office, our efficiency, our professionalism. And that's why they're going to come back to us, right? Not because we get to talk about our kids' sports or vacations for an hour and then never get to the exam or whatever it is, you know. And I think we can catch up very quickly, but, you know, the whole mindset of being overly saccharine and friendly with patients for a purpose doesn't feel really great to me. And I don't think it feels a lot to really great to most patients, in all honesty, right? You really wouldn't want your cardiologist in the OR to be doing that, right?
It seems like it's a manipulation,
I know we're not planning, that's not our purpose, but I think a lot of us, especially as young dentists, we think that's the way to go. We think that's the way we're going to build our practice, right? And we've seen it time and time again where it really backfires, because then all of a sudden when you do get busy or you do have to hop to that next exam room, and they're wondering, well, where's my 30-minute chit chat?
Right.
Or, you know, hey, Dr. So-and-so is not the same anymore because he's not sitting down and chatting about whatever. He actually says we got to get down to business. Or it could be chit chat for 10 different appointments in a row, and then all of a sudden that patient has something that they don't want to hear, like a crown or a tooth or whatever it is, that's not in pain. It's something that you actually have to tell something about, and all of a sudden they're not as friendly anymore, right? Then they're really looking at things a lot more carefully than they were before, and they might not be so happy with you.
Or, well, I guess that crown is what's paying for your boat, doctor, or that vacation that you went to through Europe that you just talked to me about at the last visit. I guess that's where that's going. Or, that's where those conversations go.
Or my favorite one is where you tell them they have a crown, crack, cavity, whatever it is, and they think because they've been friendly with you for time and time again that you're just going to tell them everything's okay.
Absolutely. Can't you do a filling on that? Like, wink, wink, nod, nod.
Well, friends, can't you just do a filling on that, right? Like, as if what we're recommending isn't necessary, right? It's just we're only doing that to some people, but we're telling everyone else they're fine, right?
It all has a trickle-down effect for sure. So, patient complaints, you will have them. If you think you won't, I'm sorry to burst the bubble. It's just because if they're not, like I said at the beginning, if they're not complaining to you, they're complaining to somebody. Either it's your front office, or worse, they're complaining outside of your office to their friends and family, where you can't help control that narrative. So we ask our patients for suggestions. This is an example of a social post that I put out in the world asking patients for suggestions. This is our digital age of the suggestion box on the counter. Now, when you open this up for people, you have to expect that you're going to have some suggestions that are completely wild, out of control. You're not going to be able to solve for everyone's situations. But showing them that you're at least asking and you're open to that feedback goes a long way. And it may not be that you can solve their specific situation, but you might have an alternative. For example, we have had patients ask us in the past to be open on Saturdays. That's not something that we have available right now, but we have early morning appointments. We have lunchtime appointments. We have later appointments. We have Friday appointments where most dentists are not open on Fridays. So here I have a couple of other options for you. Or a huge complaint that we've had over the last couple of years is not being able to get through on the phone, right? We have so many phone calls that are coming through, or then we're playing phone tag with people because they're just calling us quickly on a break. We call back, they're at work, and it goes back and forth forever. That's frustrating for people. So we have an option where our team can be booked with a call with a patient. They can go online, book a call directly with one of our team members, and let's hash through what your issue is. I may not be able to answer the phone at 1:16 when you call, but I will definitely be there for your appointment at 2 o'clock that is scheduled.
Right. And I think that goes along with a lot of offices. And there's a point, and it's not, you know, you definitely have enough people to answer the phone in the morning. Most offices do. Most offices, if they're any degree of busy, and it's especially the truth for us, there's no possible human way to answer the phone calls between, say, 10 and 2, right? It's unbelievable. And, you know, when 90% of your patients are calling within a 2 or 3 hour window, it's tough, right? And yeah, we just can't physically staff that. And so that is, I get it. I'm extremely frustrated if I call a doctor's office or if I call a hospital or whoever I call and it rings and rings and rings and I leave a message and this is the only time I had to make the call. I get the frustration, but if you give people other avenues, whether it's to book a call, whether it's to get an email back, you know, we can talk about that in a second, but you know, it's at least diffuses the situation, at least let them know why. Hey, we're receiving so many calls, we're with another patient. We'll call you back as soon as we can, or email you back as soon as you can, and then do it, which is the biggest part, right? Because everyone's where they think everything just goes into a black hole, right? Well, I'm just going to have to call back again. I'm going to call back on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and they never get a call back, right? You have to keep forcing the call until you actually get hold of someone. If we actually do what we're going to say, that's going to create a little bit more animosity or less animosity in those phone calls when they happen. So.
Some of the things are very easy fixes,
right,
that are also really big deals to your patients, right? You know, and so again, just opening that, you know, conversation and showing your team. Part of this is winning the hearts and minds of your team also, right? It goes in both directions, just like we were talking about in our Toolbox Tuesday about reviews. If your team is just seeing that, well, all patients are crazy and they're just going to complain about things, that also is showing them that you are accepting that and that nothing that they ever suggest is going to be implemented to improve their work environment, right? We've had stupid things come up with our team where, you know, one of the front office said that she was getting sciatica because her chair needed a new cushion. Girlfriend, I can get you a new chair. Like, this is not that serious. She didn't ask. I didn't know. I'm not asking if anyone has sciatica every day. Well, I didn't know I could ask. And did I tell you couldn't? But, you know, maybe I needed to ask more. Again, it was an area that we could improve upon. So it's showing the team that we care about these things and that not every patient who says something is just going to be transferred out of your practices.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people, they're afraid of asking and encouraging people to ask because they're encouraged, they're afraid of saying no when someone asks something that they can't fulfill, right? And that's definitely a risk, right? If you're going to ask for any feedback, you better be willing to at least consider it, right?
Right.
Can you bake, you know, fresh sourdough every morning for every single patient that walks in the door? Absolutely not going to happen, right? But, you know, can we, you know, give an option for different kind of communication, or can I have a head pillow next time, or you know, can the doctor please remember not to use Epi, or whatever it is.
Right.
Easy, right? That's a pop-up, we're done, right? Things like that. So I think it's, you know, we need to kind of, just because you're afraid of not being able to say yes to all those things doesn't mean you shouldn't ask, right?
Right. Well, and one of the big asks, again, things that no one wants to talk about, is every single time a patient transfers out of our office, we ask why. And I'm not talking about the people who move across the country, and even some of those people. I mean, we have patients who come to us from New York. We have patients who, you know, they keep all their doctors wherever they're living in Europe for half the year, and, you know, they schedule all their appointments at the same time. But we ask why people are transferring out of the office. We don't want them to think that we look at that as a win. Now, once or twice a year, we have patients that we invite out of the practices, right? If they've really gone over the top, but we at least want to know, you know, get some of their feedback and some of the things we can solve for. Some of them we can't, you know. I mean, we've had, you know, situations where we moved our practice literally less than a mile, okay, and just moved locations, and we've had patients tell us that it's too far for them to travel now. Okay, but that we asked, you know, hey, I can't solve that if we're in a new location now. I can send you the bus schedule. I can send you a link to Uber, but I can't solve for the fact that we changed locations, right? That part of it, I cannot solve. Most of the things we can't solve for, you know, or we've had situations where a family, like we had this happen just a couple months ago. They didn't know that we saw children, and they were transferring out of our practice because the parents had come and they said that they wanted to be in a practice that saw children. We said, we see children. We're happy to see your children. And they came back and the whole family came. If we hadn't asked that question, we would have lost the family for no reason.
Yeah. That gets back to internal marketing. But I think, you know, letting people know that you change certain, if you're going to make a change, or if you're going to, you know, improve on something, this gets back to kind of, you know, the marketing and the social media or the internal marketing, but let people know you're making these changes constantly on people's feedback. Right. And, you know, we heard you, we've heard this request, or we, you know, we've seen that this is a little bit of a struggle and we've made improvements, and let people know about it. Right.
Even questions that people ask. I mean, we have so many FAQs that go out because people are asking about certain procedures, or, you know, that's our newsletter blast that goes out, you know, for questions that we're just hearing come up that we want to answer for people. Like, yes, we are listening, and people knowing that they've been heard will solve for a lot of frustrations. They just want to know that they're heard.
That's a great point. And I think that's so important, because people really, and that gets back even what we were talking about last week with the bad reviews. People just want to have their story be heard, right? They want to let people know. And you know, if you can just understand it, even if you don't change anything, but say, hey, we listened to you, let's all look into this. I really appreciate your feedback. It goes a long way, even if you don't do it, anything about it, right?
Well, and the acknowledgement, 100%. You know, most of the time, I think when people do post things or they go on a rant, they expect that there's not going to be a response. I think that they are pleasantly surprised when there is, and there's a little bit more accountability that happens when that does occur.
Not pleasantly surprised, actually, when there is.
Well, maybe not pleasantly surprised, but you know, it does put it in a different light that, you know, we're still a small business. You know, we're privately owned, our doctors own our practices, and, you know, this is not some kind of corporate Amazon where it just goes off into the ether and you're never going to hear from customer service ever again. So
right. Yeah.
All right. Well, we will be continuing on this conversation, always to be continued. It's never done. Tons more on this topic. Next week, we're going to be talking about communication and follow up with patients, having consistency in that. If you want to learn more about the options that we have for our private clients, you can connect with us on any of the social platforms. Our website is Pathway Dental Solutions, or you can email us connect@pathwaydentalsolutions.com, and we will be happy to help you. So we will look forward to seeing everybody next week for Toolbox Tuesday. All right, bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.